بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد. So last week, alhamdulillah, we talked about some incidents after the Battle of Badr. We talked about how Ka'b ibn Ashraf, one of the leaders of the Jews, was killed. And we also talked about two other, there was a Jewish poetess, and there was also another man. So there was another man, they were writing disparaging poetry against the Prophet ﷺ, and they were also executed because of that. And so we talked about that, and there was also the Ghazwa Sawiq. That was when the Abu Sufyan, he had made a vow that he will not take a shower until they attack the Muslims one more time after Badr, because to get some revenge on the Muslims. And a few months went by, and then they finally came to attack. They attacked the outskirts of Medina in one of the date farm orchards, killed two people, set some trees afire, and then they took off. So they left, they had some sawiq, it was some food they had left, they dropped it to lighten their load so they can ride faster. And the Sahaba picked up those sawiq, and they used that. That was a good source of food, so they used that. So those are some of the events. Inshallah, another thing I want to talk about today is the marriage of Fatima radiallahu anha to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Qarramallahu wajhah. So Ali radiallahu anhu was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that he grew up as in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember Abu Talib, we talked about this. Abu Talib did not have a lot of means, he was very poor. So Rasulullah and Abbas radiallahu anh, they both went to Abu Talib and said that we will help you by taking two of your children, we will take care of them and raise them as our own. So Abbas took Ja'far radiallahu anh, and Rasulullah took Ali radiallahu anh. Ali was a small baby at that time. So he grew up in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the things that's mentioned by the ulama is that it's amazing how, and this, again, this shows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes circumstances and controls, you know, how things end up. That Ali radiallahu anhu grew up in the household of the Prophet as a baby, and he was not fed by Khadija radiallahu anha. Because if he was fed by Khadija radiallahu anha, then he would have never been able to marry Fatima radiallahu anha, because they would have been brother and sister, right? So by milk. So because he was not fed by her, he was eventually able to marry her. So that's one of the things that's amazing, that this happened years before, when that was the adat of that time. That was the, you know, that was normal for them to do that. We know that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came first, and he asked for the hand of Fatima radiallahu anha. And Rasulullah remained silent. Then again, Umar radiallahu anhu, next he came and asked for the hand of Fatima radiallahu anha. And Rasulullah again remained silent. Now, one of the things I want to point out is that the age of Fatima radiallahu anha was about 13 or 15 years old when she made hijrah to Medina Munawwara with her father, with Rasulullah. So she was very young. And Abu Bakr radan and Umar radan were proposing to her. This was a normal thing at that time. So it's, you know, again, when they try to attack the Muslims and say Aisha radiallahu anha, her age and this and that, this is something that was normal back then. It wasn't something that was out of the ordinary. So anyways, Abu Bakr and Umar radan then went to Ali, and they asked Ali radiallahu anhu, they said, why don't you go and propose for Fatima radiallahu anha? And he mustered up the courage, and he went to his cousin and the person who he basically is a father figure to him, and he asked him for the hand of Fatima radiallahu anha. And the Prophet ﷺ, under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, agreed to this. Now, we don't know the time period that went between this. I don't know is that mangni, right? Is that what it is when you ask for that and they accept? So there's the mangni, and then you have the nikah itself. The time period in between, we don't know exactly how long it was, but we do know later on, this is after Badr. So one of the things that the Prophet said, when the time for the marriage came, the time of the nikah came, the Prophet asked Ali, do you have anything for mahr? And Ali responded by saying no. And the thing what I want to point out is that after the Battle of Badr, Ali was given either it was one camel or two camels out of the spoils of war. Out of the spoils of war for Badr, he was given either one or two camels. And one of the things that happened was, we know Khamr was not haram until I think it was the fourth year of Hijri. So Khamr was still, people were still drinking, Muslims were still drinking Khamr at that time. And Ali radhiallahu anhu says, one day I went out to look for my camel to see, and he saw that it had been slaughtered. And like the hump of the animal was cut, and there was like, I think the one of the, there was like pieces of the animal was missing. So he was wondering like what's going on, and he said, فَلَمْ أَمْلَكْ عَيْنِي حِينَ رَأَيْتُ الْمَنْظَرِ. So he said, when I saw it, I couldn't believe it. Like, what's going on? How could someone do this? Or who did this to me? Did this to the camel? He said, قُلْتُ مَنْ فَعْلَ هَذَا. Who did this? قَالُوا. They said, فَعْلَهُ حَمْزَ ibn عَبْدُ الْمُطَالِبِ. His uncle, his own uncle, Hamza radiallahu anhu, had done this. So what happened was, Hamza radiallahu anhu was with some of the Ansar, with the Muslims, and they were drinking. It was halal at that time. And under his drunkenness, someone said, why don't you go and find some food for us to eat or something? So he got up with his sword and he went and found the camel of Ali radiallahu anhu and he slaughtered it. So Ali radiallahu anhu obviously was very upset about this because he was planning to get ready for his marriage. And that was one of the main sources of his income at that time. So anyway, so he says to the Prophet, I do not have anything for mahr. And the Prophet says, what about the armor you were given in the Battle of Badr, or after the spoils of the Battle of Badr? And Ali says, yes, I do still have that. So he says, go and sell that in the market and then get ready for marriage. So Ali goes to the marketplace and he finds Uthman radiallahu anhu. Now Uthman asks him, what are you doing with this armor? He says, I want to sell this and I'm getting ready for my marriage. Uthman buys it for 480 gold coins. He buys the piece of armor, and again, the saddle and the armor, whatever it was, and he buys this. It's not worth that much, but he paid him, overpaid him for it. And even after overpaying it, he says to him, here, and take this back. This is a gift for me as for your wedding. So this is Uthman radiallahu anhu, gives it back to him as a gift for his wedding. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the day of the marriage, he asked Ali radiallahu anhu to prepare a house so that he can get married. And it's written that he actually rented a house. He rented a house, had a room ready and prepared for him and his wife Fatima radiallahu anha, and they went to the room. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that wait until I come. Just basically, just wait until I come and then I will, I need to talk to you guys or, something. So Rasulullah comes into the room and they say that he sat on the bed between them and he made dua for them. And he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this marriage, bless you and bless your offspring, inshallah, from this marriage. Now, one of the things about Ali radhiallahu anhu and Fatima radhiallahu anhuma, they were living in a house a little bit further away from the Prophet ﷺ. They weren't living, now we know if you look at the apartments of the Prophet ﷺ, the Hujarat, and you look at if you go to the museum, for example, in Medina Munawwara, there's a museum where you can see some, what are they called, the models, model homes. They made like little ones, and you can see whose houses and where they lived exactly. And the Prophet ﷺ's house, Aisha radhiallahu anha's house, was right next to the house of Fatima radhiallahu anha. And that was at them. So in the beginning, initially, they were actually at a distance. And Fatima radhiallahu anha requested her husband, Ali radhiallahu anhu, to go and ask Haritha bin Nu'man radhiallahu anhu. He was actually the one who owned a lot of the land around the Masjid Nabawi in that area. And he was the one who actually was giving, whenever the Prophet would get married, he would gift land to the Prophet ﷺ so that they can make another hajra, and they can basically, the Prophet ﷺ can have a house or apartment for his wife. So Haritha ibn Nu'man radhan was, Ali radhan was asked to go and do that, and he felt shy to go and ask for land or ask that, but Haritha somehow found out about this, and he came himself to the Prophet and gifted the land next to the house of Aisha radhiallahu anha to them to build their house. So then they moved to next to the house of Aisha radhiallahu anha and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that's one of the things that the Prophet would frequently visit them because they were neighbors now. And for example, he would wake them up. He would try to wake them up for tahajjud. He would come and knock on the door and tell them get up. He would come into their houses. And one of the incidents that happened was a fight that occurred or a disagreement that occurred between Ali and Fatima radhiallahu anha, where the Prophet came. He asked for permission, came into the house, and he found his daughter in a very, she was very sad and upset. And so he's seeing this, he says, "Aina ibn Abmak, where's your cousin?" And one of the things, the reason why I want to point this out is that Al-Karmani, rahimahullah, one of the scholars of the past, in his sharh of Sahih Bukhari, he says that this point, and this is one of the things of the ulama of the past, how even one word, whatever the Prophet would say, they would use that, they would point this out, and they would take benefits from these words. So he says that, why did the Prophet say, Ibn Ammik? Why did he say your cousin? Why didn't he say, where's your husband? Aina Zawjaka? Where's Ali? You know, why didn't he say that? And they say it's because he saw the situation. He saw that Fatima Radhan was upset, and something must have occurred. So he recognized this right away. And he did this so that she knows that, okay, he's my husband, he's also my cousin. And he can, basically she'll feel like, you know, like I need to make amends, inshallah, and it's okay. It's not a big deal. So that was one of the things that ulama pointed out from those words. So the Prophet asked her, and she said that, I don't know where he is. We had a fight, basically, and he left the house. So the Prophet asked the Sahaba to go look for Ali radiallahu anhu, and they go and everyone's looking for him. The Prophet himself finds him, and the Sahaba, they found him in the masjid. They said he's in the masjid sleeping. The Prophet himself goes into the masjid, and he sees Ali radhiallahu anhu in one of the corners of the masjid, sleeping on the floor. Remember, they didn't have carpets, okay? They didn't have all these luxuries that we have. So he's on the floor, on the dirt, sleeping. And it's mentioned that in the rawai of Muslim, rahimahullah, that when his upper garment had come off a little bit, so he basically, his body was covered with dirt. He's laying on the dirt, he's just covered with dirt, with dirt, and he was taking a nap. The Prophet ﷺ came, and he says, "Qum Aba Tarab, Qum Aba Tarab, stand up, O the father of dirt." And he basically, he made this kunya as a joke. He was saying this to him to basically calm him down, because he saw, obviously, he's upset. Ali radhiallahu anhu got up, and he said, after that day, I love this nickname the most of any nicknames, because the Prophet ﷺ said it to him the way he said it to him, so lovingly. And one of the things also to mention, the ulama talk about how when you get into an argument with your wives or with the spouse, the best thing to do is to defuse the situation is just go away for a little bit for them. Like, because if you stay in the same room and you try to try to talk and try to say, it just goes to a bad place. So it's better to try to defuse the situation by just going away a little bit, have some time, try to cool down, and then you can come back. So Ali Radhan had gone to the masjid at that time. What better place is there than going to the masjid? So the Prophet ﷺ, he brings them back, and when they come back, they actually sit down. He sits down, and he puts his hand on Ali Radhan and Fatima Radhan. He makes a dua for them, that again, making dua for them, that Allah bless them and keep their hearts together. And this is one of the things that we also learn from this, is that when anything happens, marriage should be kept. Fighting always happens, and people make disagreements, things like that happen. But Allah protect us all. People get when the third party comes in, instead of fixing the situation, they kind of make it worse sometimes. So we have to be really careful. And if we're called to come and, be the referee, you could say, in between, you should try to, make them fix the situation instead of make it worse. Another, and again, these are not things that just happened right after Badr. All of these things, I'm just talking about the marriage of Fatima radhiallahu anha with Ali radhiallahu anhu. And you have the Tasbih Fatima. This is a famous incident where Fatima radhiallahu anha, because she was working hard with, you know, in the house with the flour, the grinding mill, and other work in the house. So she had rough hands. She was really, you know, would be aching because of tiredness and whatnot. So she came to the Prophet ﷺ one day to ask for a slave. And they had been given from the spoils of war. I don't know which battle this was after, but they came. So she went on the request of Ali radhiallahu anhu, she went and asked for a slave. And the Prophet ﷺ said that, what if I give you something better than that? So he gave her a choice. He said, I can give you a slave, but what if I give you something better than that? Another riwayah comes that he didn't give a choice, but he actually said that I can't do that while the people of Sufa, the poor people of Sufa, they're, you know, suffering and they don't have enough means, so I can't be, you know, unbiased, and I can't give you, but I'll give you something better. And he teaches her the kalimat Tasbih Fatima, where before sleeping you say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 33 times in one rawaya, and then La ilaha illallah, or the other one is 34 times Allahu Akbar. You do this before you sleep, and inshallah ta'ala, you'll find yourself freshened up, and you won't be tired. And this is Fatima radhiallahu anha would do this every night before sleeping after that, and she wouldn't feel any kind of tiredness no matter how much she worked or whatever she did the day before. So this is for those also who go to the gym, you can use that, or if you play basketball and that kind of stuff, you can, you know, or work somewhere where you're doing heavy work, do this before sleeping, inshallah ta'ala. Another incident that's similar, this is related by At-Tabarani, Ahmullah, where, again, they were in a situation, and this is the thing too, that Fatima radhiallahu anha, being the princess, being the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and being, you know, the daughter of the leader of the Muslimin, they could have had the best food, they could have had the best houses, they could have had anything they wanted, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself and his family, they remained poor just like everyone else. They didn't take advantage of the people, they didn't do anything like that. So one day, Fatima radhiallahu anha and Ali radhiallahu anhu, they were actually, you know, they were going through a lot of difficulties, and Ali radhiallahu anhu asked her to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask for 5 goats, so they can, you know, herd, they can take the milk, they can use that, and they can use that for their children. I didn't mention, this is one of the main things, but the following year after their marriage, in the third year of Hijri, the Prophet ﷺ had a grandson by the name of Hassan radiallahu anhu, and then after that, the following year was Hussein radiallahu anhu. So those are the two grandsons of the Prophet ﷺ from this blessed marriage. So anyways, the family of Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu anha, they were having difficulties and whatnot, so she came again at the behest of Ali radhiallahu anhu to ask her father for 5 goats. So when she goes and knocks on the door, and it was at night, or it was a time that she wouldn't usually go, the Prophet ﷺ, just by her knock, he recognized her knock, and he says to Ayman radhiallahu anha, who was there at that time, he says that this is the knock of Fatima radhiallahu anha, and she has come to us in a time where she's not. Usually she doesn't visit. So go and please open the door. So she opens the door, Fatima radhiallahu anha comes in, and she says that, I would request, you know, we're getting this, just, we don't have any food to eat, we have nothing, can you give us some goats? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds by saying that, وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا أَعْنُزًا فَإِنْ شِئْتِ أَمَرْنَا لَكْ بِخَمْسِ عَنُوز. I've been giving a lot of goats, I have goats. I can give you, if you want, I can give you 5 goats. وَإِنْ شِئْتِ عَلَّمْتُكِ كَلِمَاتٍ عَلَّمَنِيهِنَّ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمُ السَّلَامُ. I can, or if you want, I can give you 5 kalimat, 5 sentences or 5 words that Jibreel عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ has just taught me. Fatima radhiallahu anha responds by saying, obviously, being the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, she says, "Allimni كَلِمَاتٍ عَلَّمَكَهُنَّ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. Teach me those five kalimat. Leave the goats, just give me those five kalimat. And the Prophet says, قولي, say, يَا أَوَّلَ الْأَوَّلِينَ يَا آخِرَ الْآخِرِينَ يَا ذَا الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ وَيَا رَاحِمَ الْمَسَاكِينَ وَيَا أَرْحَمَ الْرَاحِمِينَ. These are five kalimat, five sentences, phrases you could say. So you say this, يَا أَوَّلَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَيَا آخِرَ الْآخِرِينَ وَيَا ذَا الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ وَيَا رَاحِمَ الْمَسَاكِينَ وَيَا أَرْحَمَ الْرَاحِمِينَ. You say this, inshallah, Allah will take care of you. فَفَعَلْتُ mean Fatima Radhan says, so I started to say those words. Then she went back to her house and she asked Ali Radhan. Ali Radhan asked her that, what happened? Did you get the goats or what's going on? And she says that I was taught. She says that ذَهَبْتُ مِنْ عِنْدِكْ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا وَأَتَيْتُكَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. She said, I went to my father to ask for the dunya and I came back with the akhirah. I came back with the hereafter. And Ali Radhan says, خَيْرُ أَيَّامِكْ خَيْرُ أَيَّامِكْ, meaning that this is the best day of your life. This is the best day of your life. That instead of saying, you know, why didn't you get the goats? Or why didn't you try to get both or something like that? He said, this is the best day. You chose well. You chose well, basically. And this is again, the Sahaba, you know, they would always choose the Akhirah over the dunya whenever they had that choice. And in this hadith, for example, we're learning that five kalimat, like the previous one, the Tasbih Fatima radhiyallahu anha, we might think, what is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, what does that have to do with my tiredness, with my feeling tired? You know, has nothing to do with that. And what does these five kalimat have to do with food? If I'm hungry, what is this going to do to me? Logically, that's what we think, right? But this is the thing that the yaqeen they had, they know that the Prophet is teaching him something, and there is something behind it. And that's why they had that firm yaqeen in that. And we were talking about this just yesterday, that when the time of Imam Mahdi comes, there's going to be a time. So we know that when Dajjal comes, before Dajjal comes, 3 years prior to Dajjal arriving, and this is when Imam Mahdi will be amongst us, is that the first year, one third of the reign will be held back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold back one third of the reign in the whole entire world. The second year, two thirds of the reign will be held back. And the third year, there will be no rain at all for an entire year. So you can imagine the drought, you know, the animals dying, the khadrawat, all the greenery, all the, you know, the fruits and vegetables, everything's, you know, withering away. And people will be starving. And it's in the hadith, Sahih hadith, that the food of the mu'mineen on that, in those days will be the tasbih and tahleel, tahmeed, takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you know, Allah protect, Allah give us, save us from fitna, inshallah, and give us afiyah. But the people who will be there that day, they will be starving and they will be reciting the tasbihat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill their stomachs, and they won't be thirsty anymore through that. Also, we know that Imam Mahdi, when he goes to the walls of Istanbul to conquer Istanbul, and they will recite again this tasbih, they'll do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the walls will crumble, they'll fall down, and they'll just enter into the city without any type of fighting. So again, these are the powerful words of the adhkar of Allah, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we do that, inshallah ta'ala, Allah will give us the barakah of that, inshallah. One other thing I want to mention is the generosity of Ahlul Bayt. So Ahlul Bayt, first of all, we know they're the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you have from the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the only ones that the lineage went on from is from Fatima radhiallahu anha and Ali radhiallahu anha. So this is where the lineage of Ahlul Bayt goes on from, and from Hassan and Hussein radhiallahu anha. There was one of the sisters, it was Kulthum radhiallahu anha, she was not a sahabi, but I think she was, yeah, Kulthum. So radhiallahu anha, she was the daughter of Ali radhiallahu anha and Fatima radhiallahu anha, and she was married to Umar radhiallahu anha later on. He married into Ahlul Bayt, but they did not have any children. So through Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhuma, that's where the lineage of the Prophet continues on, and that's where the Ahlul Bayt comes from. The wives of the Prophet, none of them had any children, so that survived. So that's why there was no Ahlul Bayt from them. So in Surah Al-Dahr, there's an ayah, there's a couple of ayat mentioned, and this is the, in the tafsir you'll find the tafsir of these ayat. This is referring to the Ahlul Bayt, the meaning the household of Ali radhiyallahu anhuma, Ali and Fatima radhiyallahu anhuma, where Allah subhanahu says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa yut'imuna at'ama 'ala hubbihi miskinan wa yatiman wa asira." So basically what's recorded in the books is that Ali and Fatima radhiyallahu anha, they kept a fast. Again, it wasn't Ramadan or anything like that, but they kept a fast because they had nothing to eat. And then they decided to fast and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them. So when it was evening time, it was time for them to do iftar. Whatever they could put together, whatever Fatima radhiallahu anha could put together, she got the food together, and there was a knock on the door, and it was a miskin. He was asking for food. So they actually gave him their iftar. And then they themselves went hungry. They had nothing to eat, just broke their fast with water, and that's it. The next day, they kept another fast. And at the end of the day, when they had the food ready, whatever she could get together or borrow or whatever she had, another knock on the door, and a yatim was asking for food. So they gave the food to the yatim. They broke their fast with water, and the third day, again, they kept Rosa again, they kept a fast again. And Asir is someone who was like a prisoner of war, and someone who has been freed or something like that. So he came and he knocked on the door, and Fatima radhiallahu anha again gave him the food, and they 3 days in a row, no food, nothing, just water. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat, وَيُطِعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, that they feed food to others, even though they have hub, they love that food and they need that food. مِسْكِينَ وَيَتِيمَ وَأَسِيرًا. And they say, إِنَّمَا نُطِعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, that we only feed you for the sake of Allah. We don't want any thanks, we don't want anything from you, but we do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we fear the day of the last day. We really fear that day of judgment. This is one of the amazing stories that happened with this Ahlul Bayt. Now, I will talk about this later on, inshallah, if we ever get to that point. But Fatima radhiallahu anha, I do want to mention, she passed away at the age of 25 years old. She was only 25 years old when she passed away, and this is 6 months after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you can just imagine how young her children were. Hassan, Hussein radhiallahu anhu were like 7-8 years old at that time. And Kulthum radhiallahu anha was probably 5 maybe or something like that. So very young children, and Fatima radhiallahu anha passed away. And you can just imagine, you know, how the situation was at that time. So inshallah we'll stop there. And next week we'll continue on with some other incidents that happened, and then something prelude to the Battle of Uhud, inshallah. We'll get that in the coming weeks, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.